Tonight, the Cool Concerts on Thursday Night series at the First Baptist Church of Kalamazoo continues with a recital by a solo cellist named Lillian Pettit. She lives in the Chicago area. I reached her by phone recently. It's nice to have you on the program. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I understand that you are a cellist with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Let's start with how long you've performed with the KSO.
Yes, I started performing with the KSO in fall of 2013. That's when I first won my job with Kalamazoo, and I absolutely love playing there.
What led up to that? What was your training?
Well, I had just finished grad school at DePaul earlier that year in May. And before that, I was at the San Francisco Conservatory.
Were you a West Coaster to begin as when you grew up?
No, I actually grew up in Houston, Texas. And then when I was 17, moved out to a completely opposite place, San Francisco.
Wow. Do you come from a musical family?
I do. Both my parents are musicians, not professionally, but my father was a composer and percussionist, but he's actually a chemist now. and my mother is a clarinetist and used to play with local orchestras in Houston, but she's actually a financial analyst.
Did you go through the public school system as a young musician? Or?
I did. It was all public school, but in Houston, they actually have a performing arts public school for high school.
And you heard about that and wanted to get in?
Yes. And so when I was about 13, I had to audition for high school and got in, and it was a wonderful, wonderful school.
And why cello? What attracted you to the instrument?
I actually started on piano when I was 3 and then switched to violin when I was, say, 4. And I liked playing it, but I mean, it was uncomfortable. You know, I had to have it on my neck all the time. And I was looking for another instrument to play. And I remember my parents took me to a Houston Symphony concert, and Yo-Yo Ma was soloing with the orchestra. And after I heard him, I was like, okay, that's the instrument I want. My parents let me try one out the next week, and I haven't looked back since.
How often do you have the opportunity to put on a recital or feature yourself in a program like tonight?
Actually, this is something pretty new for me. I mean, I had been playing recitals, you know, throughout school and throughout undergrad and graduate school, but then I had actually stopped because I've been playing in orchestras for so long.
Are you working with a pianist, a collaborator?
Yes. I'm for this concert, I'm going to be playing with Andrew Rosenblum, and he's actually the pianist with Chicago Lyric.
You mean the opera company?
Yes.
So
now I'm very happy that he's going to be playing with me.
Absolutely. That automatically puts him in the he's no slouch category.
Oh, no, not at all. He's fantastic.
Did you pick favorite pieces that you've already played or challenge yourself with something new?
I did a little bit of both. So one of my favorite Bach suites to play is Bach Suite number 3, and that's how I'll be beginning the program. And then I'll also be playing a Prokofiev solo cello sonata, which I hadn't even known existed until maybe a few months ago. It was actually written at the end of 1952, and Prokofiev died in 1953, so we never actually got to finish it. So another composer in the 1970s, Bloch, ended up finishing it for him. So it's kind of unknown, and I'm really excited to perform it for everyone.
I don't think I've heard of the Prokofiev cello sonata either, and you say that's an unaccompanied work as well?
Yes, so he did write a sonata for cello and piano, but no, this is actually an unaccompanied work, where it's solo cello.
Okay, can you tell that it's Prokofiev?
Yes, there are certain melodies that kind of sound like the Orange melodies. some that kind of might be from Peter and the Wolf, but then others that just kind of come out of nowhere, and there's so much dissonance and kind of anger behind it and a tribal feeling. And I'm wondering, and it's hard to know if that actually came from Prokofiev or from the guy who finished the piece.
Right. Ernst Bloch he wrote a number of classic cello pieces himself. So.
Oh, sorry, not the Kolnizhe Bloch. This guy is actually B-L-O-K, Vladimir Bloch. He's a Russian. He's a Russian composer. Sorry. So from the 70s. Sorry. There are several Blochs. Sorry.
A totally different Bloch. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know where one left off and the other one began.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of also fun navigating through that.
Hmm. Does it relate to the forms that Bach set down as his unaccompanied cello style, where, you know, you'd have a prelude and a saraband and then end with a few dances like Bourrées and Gigues? Is this similar to that?
Not quite where it's so compartmentalized, but there are three distinct parts of the piece. It starts off with this beautiful low, slow, kind of somber tone, and then it goes into a very bright and happy melody out of nowhere, and then it repeats the same low, slow tone in a different key, and then you get a ton of dissonance throughout, and then again repeats the first phrase again of to finish off the piece. So there are three distinct parts to Prokofiev.
You know, that's quite special, the chance to hear a final but unfinished work by Sergei Prokofiev, whose other pieces are played so very often, the ballets and some of the concerti. But we don't get to hear, you know, his final thoughts in that way.
Yes.
What do people think when you play it?
Well, I've played it once before. I played it in July for the recital that I did with the violas, and that was my first time ever performing it, and so it was interesting to get the audience reaction, and they all seemed to really get into it and really like it. I don't know if they knew immediately that it was Prokofiev, but I think once I explained the different melodies and how they kind of sound like the different, so you can kind of hear like Peter and the Wolf in this one melody, or you can hear Three Oranges in this other melody. Once you kind of break it down, I think it's a lot easier to tell that it's Prokofiev.
Well, those are two really substantial sounding pieces. What else could you possibly want to play after that kind of workout?
Well, three other pieces. I'll also be playing Song Without Words by Mendelssohn. A beautiful, beautiful piece. And then I'll also be playing Liebestraum by Liszt. And then I'll be finishing the program with Intermezzo by Granados. It's going to be a very melodic concert.
Well, that's great. Gosh, we got through that very quickly. I need to think of something else to ask you. So besides playing in the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, what does your musical life look like?
So aside from playing with Kalamazoo Symphony, I just started playing this year with Chicago Opera Theater, which is very fun. We played Johnny Skeeky, set in the 1960s,
huh.
Which was, yeah, a very, very unique performance. And then I also play with Orchestra Iowa. And I also play with the West Michigan Symphony.
How many miles do you put on your car?
Well, I've had my car for, barely 3 years. And by the end of the year, I'm guessing that I'm going to hit 100,000 miles.
Gosh, that is a lot of travel. Is that would you say that's typical of your friends who are also in music?
I think it's very typical. Yeah, we call ourselves the Freeway Philharmonic. I mean, a lot of us play in, you know, 3 to 5 symphonies throughout the year.
You know, I must admit, of all the places I can listen to recordings, including in a quiet studio with 2 very nice speakers, I think it's the car that I enjoy the best to listen to music.
Oh, yes.
Is that true for you, too?
Oh, definitely. And that's where I get in all of my good listening. Yes.
It's just somehow a little more active. Can really engage in it. Yeah.
Exactly. Besides driving, there are no distractions.
So you find yourself in a lot of different kinds of situations where your skills have to be adjusted just a little bit, for a small pit to a big concert stage and everything in between.
Yeah. Also, especially for playing in a pit, you really have to gauge how much bow you actually use, or you could accidentally, you know, hit your partner, or, you know, hit the wall, or it's there's always going to be unique challenges in the pit, for sure.
Is that an advantage in your career right now, that you are quite adaptable as a musician?
I would say so, yes. But I feel like you have to be. If you want to be hired, you have to be. You know, you kind of have to be what people need you to be at that moment, you know, whoever has hired you.
Do you see yourself continuing to stay in the region and be based in Chicago? Is it a good music town?
It definitely is. I would see myself definitely staying in the Midwest, just because I love it here. After moving to the Midwest, I can't really see myself living anywhere else, especially at the moment.
That's nice to hear. Well, I want to thank you so much for chatting with me today, Lillian, and all the best in your recital tonight.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me, Kara.